Good afternoon.
Hello, Elias.
And what have you been engaging?
Well, first, I just wanted to start with a thank you. Things are going really well.
Excellent. And what are you noticing?
Well, I am creating a lot more of what I want in recent weeks. Things are going very well at work. They're going very well at home. Moving and creating progress in just about everything that I want to do. And my awareness of what I am doing and what am I projecting is increasing almost every day, it seems like, which again makes it a little bit easier each time to continue that.
Excellent. Now, the objective is to maintain that. But what generally occurs is that you will be creating a flow and moving in that flow, and it is moving in a direction that is easy and that you are satisfied with and pleased with, and then you stop. Or you become derailed. And in that, you can prevent that derailing by continuing to be aware and maintaining what you are doing. Fordham, let me express to you that you, in like manner to most individuals, when you are being successful and it is flowing naturally, there is a tendency not to think but to generate an underlying automatic association and assumption that it has become natural.
Okay.
And therefore, what occurs is you stop paying as much attention. Let me express to you that regardless that it feels natural, because it is not entirely familiar yet, and you have many, many, many years of other expressions being more familiar. Therefore, in that, the manner in which you maintain it is that you continue to be aware of what you are doing and paying attention until it does become automatic. And how you will know that is through interactions that you will be less likely to be reactive.
Yes.
Your interactions, and in that you will notice that it becomes natural and it becomes automatic for you to respond differently. At this point, there remains a factor in which you still, to a degree, think about it. When you get to the point in which it is automatic, that piece of thinking about it will stop, and you will merely do differently.
And I can experience periods of that when I've used my, let's call it, tools to practice my awareness. I'll go for periods where it will feel natural for a little while before I, let's say, go back to my normal
yes.
patterns.
But that is the point, is that, let me express in this manner, it is very similar to an individual generating some type of illness, such as the flu, and incorporating some medication for that illness, and within a few days or perhaps a week, the individual begins to feel better. And when they begin to feel better, they generally begin to do more. And then what happens? Then they feel exhausted and they feel a recurrence of the symptoms because it has not actually entirely altered yet. And in this, it is very similar with moving yourself in a different behavior modem, let us say, in that you do incorporate periods of time in which it is automatic and you aren't thinking about it and it is flowing, but then there are points in which you still do think about it.
Oh, no, I definitely rely on a lot of different tools to get me to those points and making it through my day and dealing with clients and conference calls and using the computer and everything. Those are periods where it's harder for me to maintain. And so,
why?
Subsequent to that, I would say that it's simply a higher level of distraction.
How?
Because I'm used to concentrating on the outside or the other person or what's going on around me. It's not really
excellent
harder.
Time framework to practice.
Yes. Yes.
But I would definitely be congratulating you in your success and what you are accomplishing.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I've been using that, you know, we had talked about asking questions, and so I'd been using, you know, what am I paying attention to or noticing what I'm paying attention to, along with a whole other number of questions, like what am I possibly struggling with here, just to help reinforce and increase that awareness.
Excellent. For that also reinforces to you what is actually important to you.
Yes, absolutely. And it's amazing when you're actually present how much time that you have available to put in, I guess, towards those important things than I normally do.
Very much so, and in that requiring much less effort and energy. I have been expressing this for a considerable time framework, but until the individual actually experiences it, it is merely concept, that in actuality it requires much more energy in concentrating and moving in directions that are familiar than to be present and moving in that direction. It is so much easier and requires so much less effort and energy.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, we had talked about this last time, which was the glowing energy. I had some questions around that. And the question would be, or the beginning of the questions would be, I'm assuming that it's not just good for increasing eye contact or getting noticed, but that glowing energy would be evidence that I am moving in, or that my energy is moving in the right direction, or that it allows me to move in the right direction. That
I would agree.
Okay. Given that, what is the most efficient way to ramp up that glowing energy?
What you are already doing. And in that, the more open you are, the more you express that energy. The more you move in directions of judgments, the more you dampen it. Now, when I express that about judgments, understand, duplicity is a belief system, and therefore it is a part of the blueprint of your reality. Therefore, you are not eliminating judgments. But how you express them and how you associate with them can be considerably different, such as, this would be a matter of what we were discussing previously, not only about what you are paying attention to, but as you express how you are paying attention. Now, in that, let us say that some action occurs with you that you automatically view as negative or as an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, if you are expressing more in the direction of, let us say, relaxing those judgments, and of course being present and therefore not reacting to it, you may continue to identify or define the experience as not comfortable or that you don't like it, but you are not automatically expressing that absolute of this is bad. For in that, you also are recognizing that even experiences that you don't like or that are uncomfortable or that seem like an obstacle have other properties to them and have other meanings to them also, that there are layers. And therefore, you can acknowledge that you don't like it, but it is not necessarily absolutely bad.
And I assume most of this in everyday life is a lot of small stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Like a phone call that distracts you or...
In actuality, what you term to be small expressions or even insignificant expressions, these experiences are actually the majority
mm-hmm.
of our experiences, and therefore they are significantly important. An action that you think of momentarily as being bad or annoying and also being insignificant such as spilling your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a very small experience, and it is insignificant and meaningless. But those types of experiences occur throughout your day many, many, many times. And how you engage them is very significant. For how you engage those actions influence you to engage what you think of as large or significant experiences in a similar manner. If you incorporate a tendency to be reactive and irritated by a glitch in your computer or spilling your coffee or not acquiring the parking space that you want or being stuck in traffic, anything that you would think of as a mundane, insignificant action. But if you incorporate the tendency to be reactive to those types of expressions and become irritated or impatient with them, it is very likely that when you are engaging a significant meeting with another individual and they disagree with you, you will likely be reactive to that also. Or if you are attempting to encourage another individual and they are not listening to you or they are not responding to you in the manner that you want them to, you are likely to be impatient with them. For that is what you are reinforcing continuously to yourself. This is what I have expressed and what is meant when I express to each of you, everything you do is interconnected. Therefore, regardless of the imagery, whether it is purchasing a new vehicle or making a sandwich, they seem entirely unrelated, but they are not. They are all interconnected by that energy, which is what you began with. What type of energy do you want to be projecting, which affects what type of reality you are creating yourself and all around you? And in that, do you want to be generating that expansion and that glow of your energy field, or do you want to dampen it and tighten it?
And you mentioned through openness. So is it that the judgment process itself leads to a closing of that openness?
Dependent upon how you are expressing it. Whenever you are expressing judgment in absolute, and let me express to you as an aside, that applies to a judgment in a positive or a negative manner.
Ooh.
If it is an absolute, if you are expressing a judgment in an absolute, this is absolutely good, or this is absolutely right.
Are most of my judgments absolute?
No, but the point is, in answering your question, it is dependent upon how you are expressing those judgments. For if you are expressing a judgment, good or bad, positive or negative, in an absolute manner, then yes, it does dampen that energy field and that glow. If you are expressing a judgment in relation to what you evaluate or define as comfortable, uncomfortable, good or bad, like or dislike, you are generating that judgment in relation to your preferences and your guidelines. And if you know that, but you also are aware that whatever the experience or the expression is, your evaluation of it is your personal evaluation of it, and that it can be experienced differently, and that it can be a part of your direction in relation to your desire, even if it is uncomfortable, then the manner in which you are expressing that judgment, how you are expressing that judgment, is different, and it is not absolute, and that does not necessarily dampen or tighten your energy field. But it is definitely a matter of how you are expressing those judgments. You will always be expressing judgments in some capacity as long as you continue within this physical focus, for it is a part of the blueprint, giving you that ability to discern what are your preferences, what are your likes and dislikes, what you agree with, what you don't agree with, which is all what are the components of making up your opinions. You have opinions about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And your opinions are all the expressions of those preferences and your guidelines and what you like and dislike. In this, even what you think is right or wrong. But in that expression of what is right and wrong, you also recognize that it is not an absolute, it is not universal, it is you're right and you're wrong. Just as I expressed previously, yes and no are your global words. They are expressed in every language, in every culture, throughout your world. But does yes absolutely mean yes, and does no absolutely mean no? Not necessarily.
Right, it's tied to the preferences and guidelines.
Precisely, it is all a matter of perception. And the context of the individual's perception in relation to any given subject. Therefore, when you are actually genuinely aware of all of that, not merely thinking about it, but you actually are aware of it, you genuinely know it, then it changes your association with your expression of duplicity. The yeses and nos, the rights and wrongs, are no longer absolute. And in that, they are not universal. They do not apply to everything and everyone. They are personally yours. They are your possessions.
Okay. And so this openness factor, this seems to explain why, for example, I've had historically found it easier to do when I'm traveling, let's say, to ramp up that glowing aspect versus when I'm in the office using a computer all day.
Now, what would you say is the most significant differences? What are you doing differently in those two situations, when you are traveling or when you are in the office?
Well, the traveling would almost be like now, me talking to you, because I'm well aware of, you know, what I'm doing and what's going on around me. And I'm not particularly concentrated on accomplishing something. In other words, the conversation is just happening. And that would be similar to often when I'm traveling.
Very well.
Where I'm kind of observing and maybe I, you know, have an intention to stay present or something like that, but there's not much beyond it.
Very well. Now, when you are in the office, what would you express?
It's hard to describe because it could be so many different things, but I think to broadly speaking, I would be much more distracted, much more not necessarily aware of myself.
Now, you have expressed that term distracted 3 times in this conversation. In that, define that.
I guess I'm using it not precisely. Distracted would mean that there are stuff that I allow to draw my attention, whether it's news articles or, you know, even looking up on the Elias website, looking for transcripts, I could get into a very focused mode of looking for information where I'm not necessarily aware of myself.
Therefore, you would say that the difference is whenever you are engaging or you present to yourself any outside source that you are focused on or that you are concentrating on, that is the point in which you lose your focus on yourself.
I think so, yes.
And therefore, that would be the difference. When you are traveling, you are in situations and in places in which you are not necessarily concentrating and focusing on any one particular expression.
Yes, that's the case. And I have an issue at home because I could get into, you know, whether it's video games or something else. So there's always something that I can get absorbed into.
Yes, but in that, what you notice is that consistently when you are in a situation such as your office being in that type of environment, that you expect yourself to be more focused on something.
Yeah, yes.
And therefore, when you focus your attention on something, you sacrifice your attention on you. Now, this is actually an excellent example for them. The tendency is to think that it is difficult to be aware of yourself and be focused on anything else. That it is challenging or hard to do both. And in actuality, in very similar manner to what we were discussing previously about allowing yourself to flow, is considerably easy and a very natural expression if you are allowing yourself to do it and if you are doing it in the proper function, which means if you are genuinely focused on some outside source, what are you doing? You are listening and observing. That is how you genuinely focus on some outside source. Does not require tremendous concentration. It is merely a matter of listening and observing. Now, in that, how do you genuinely listen and observe? And we have discussed this. How you do that is you move out of your own way. You stop thinking. You stop accessing. The reason that individuals become so consumed with their attention on outside sources is that the time framework in which you are focused and concentrating and paying attention to an outside source, you are simultaneously, without effort, it is automatic, dividing your attention, for you are automatically, immediately, and consistently accessing. You are accessing your own information. Now, this is not paying attention to you. This is merely accessing information. For what you are attempting to do, you are trying to relate that outside source. Therefore, you are very much engaged in that action of accessing your own information. What do you think about this? What do you feel about this? What is your opinion of this? What is your experience in relation to this? Are you in the direction of agreeing or disagreeing with it? Is it good or bad? All of that is occurring at the same time that you are supposedly listening. Therefore, you are actually only half listening. And in that, you are not observing very well at all. For I would express to you that much more than half of every interaction that you engage is expressed in other manners than spoken words. But you miss all of that, for you are not actually observing. You may be observing perhaps in a percentage of 10%. And you are listening at a capacity of about 50%. And the rest of what you are doing is accessing, accessing, accessing. Now, in that, what I would express to you is that requires tremendously much more energy than if you were actually engaging that action of observing and listening in its actual function in a genuine manner. In that, you would be first giving yourself much more information and understanding of whatever it is that you are engaging, and you would be automatically much more clear in relation to your presence with what you are listening to and observing. For rather than accessing, you are aware of participating by observing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, let me express to you very genuinely that through observation of interaction, I would express to you that you could, in your terms, almost be mind reading. You are not actually mind reading, but you can very accurately assess what another individual is thinking if you are genuinely observing what they are doing. In this, it is observing the whole of the individual and also listening. But that observation factor is tremendous, for individuals are expressing what they are thinking through what they are doing.
Uh-huh.
In this, I would express that also in relation to engaging what you think of as an inanimate object, such as your computer.
Okay.
Now, in that, first of all, remember, your computers are, to date, the most excellent reflection of yourselves as processors. Therefore, when you are engaging your computer, you are also accessing. And that you are in a partial capacity attempting to relate with the computer, and the reason that you do that is because it is such an excellent reflection of yourselves as a processor and a repository of information, which you hold more information within yourself than any computer or supercomputer could ever be programmed to hold. In this, I would express that, once again, automatically, when you are engaging your computer, what are you doing? You are interacting. You are accessing information. You are reading. And What are you doing when you are reading? What you do when you are reading is you either are translating what you are reading by imagining, therefore engaging your imagination, or you are evaluating, therefore you are accessing.
Yes, and so the evaluation, I could totally see anytime I'm accessing information, I shut down part of my awareness, or let's say the traditional way I access information. I'm sure there's a way I could do it without that, but, you know, generally in my automatic reactions and thinking.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
You are accessing your computer or engaging your computer to be shopping, and you are shopping for shoes. You are accessing.
So in watching my awareness from moment to moment and seeing that as a, you know, those reactions to whatever is occurring is a way to notice what I'm doing and, you know, decide if I want to do that or not.
Yes, yes, precisely. And in that, recognizing that it is likely that you are expending much more energy than is necessary.
Mm-hmm. And I notice that as things get easier, that
That you are incorporating much more time than is necessary because you are using much more energy than is necessary. When,
as far as I am right now, just as an example,
yes,
like I feel pretty present and open right now. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm using this as a baseline.
Yes, I would agree.
The other question I had for you, and this I think answers that question, was I had been using the eye contact or the noticing as a feedback mechanism. But obviously that only works in certain circumstances. And so I was looking for other feedback mechanisms. And so this is directly watching my awareness. Or are there other feedback mechanisms?
In which you present feedback to yourself?
Well, I know there are, but that are realistically usable for where I am.
There are countless. It is merely a matter of whatever you choose to do. And engaging what interests you, I would express that there are as many expressions and methods as there are elements for you to imagine. Anything. You can use anything as a manner or a method to elicit feedback. You can use gestures, you can use movement, you can use words, you can use...
That provide me feedback on what my energy is?
Yes. Yes. I would express that...
I know that I can feel, like, I feel differently, like my... Instead, my physical sense, like I think we've talked about this in the past, feels lighter, more buoyant.
Yes. Let me express to you, if you incorporate a moment, hypothetically, in which suddenly you are standing and you are looking down at your body and suddenly you perceive yourself to be taller. Now, in that, you may be surprised, but that perception does not change immediately. It continues. Let us say it continues for a period of 5 or 10 minutes. And you are actually noticing your physical body and that your head seems farther from the floor than it usually does. And mm-hmm. you see yourself as being taller. Now, in that, you are speaking about feedback. Feedback as a validation. In this, if you are genuinely paying attention to that perception and you are seeing yourself and feeling yourself to be taller than you are or were moments prior, and you are carrying yourself differently, let us say you walk different. In that, other individuals might not perceive precisely the same as yourself,
mm-hmm.
or because they are unaccustomed to defining what it is that they are noticing, for they are unaccustomed to paying attention to energy and to themselves. Therefore, they may not express objectively the ability to define a difference, but they will likely express in some capacity, did you change your shoes? Did you change your suit? There's something different about you. Now, you know what is different about you is that you suddenly are taller than you were moments ago. The other individual may not precisely define that, but they will notice the difference, and they will likely express that. Or even if they don't express it in words, they will respond in how they look at you, how they move around you. This is the piece of observation and how much you miss in what other individuals are doing and expressing, for, as I express, more than half of what they are expressing is not verbal.
Okay. That was a great example. And so they're responding to my perception of myself.
Yes. And a change for what you may at times be forgetful of is that you incorporate a tendency at times to think about perception as merely some elusive concept of how you see the world or how you see things in your reality, and that is not actually reality. It is merely how you see it. And in that, what you forget is that your perception is actually creating that physical reality. Therefore, if you perceive yourself to be taller, you actually are.
And if you continued with that practice, you would, I guess, continue with it automatically in a degree such that it...
Yes.
It would actually translate.
Yes. and individuals notice, not merely noticing or acknowledging a difference in your perception. They are noticing a difference in your reality. You changed something in a very real capacity, in actual physical matter.
And I think with that example that you gave me, you just gave me a very real way to consider how to enact change much more rapidly in anything than we're accustomed to.
Precisely. Yes! Congratulations! You got it. Yes. Let me express to you, my dear friend, I have been expressing from the onset of this forum of my conversations with all of you, to scientists, to physicists, to servers at restaurants, that the challenge with science is that they miss the most important component, which is perception. Science is continuously attempting to quantify reality, the universe, concepts, everything. And in that, they leave out the most important factor associated with reality, which is perception. And without that, they continue to be baffled and questioning.
Your example also answered a bunch of other questions that I hadn't asked. I had to sit here.
Ah, and in that, why does the particle disappear and reappear? Where does it go? Perception, perception, perception.
All right. I'm going to think about this for a while at some point, or at least consider it. And I had been, because I had been working on, actually, and which was literally one of my questions here, was the, creating the perception that you already have something.
Ah, yes. Now, let me express in relation to that also, that a significant method in that can aid you tremendously is generating what I have offered previously as an experiential visualization,
yes,
which in that, a very easy example of an experiential visualization is one of any type of vehicle, a motor car, an airplane, a boat, anything that moves, that it is not merely a matter of visualizing it, but visualizing it in a capacity in which you are experiencing the motion of it.
Can you give an example of that with another person?
With another individual. Offer a subject.
Well, I think actually we've talked about this before in the past about, like, you know, generating interactions with a boss.
In that, it would be a matter of, let us say, if you want to create an amiable interaction with a boss, you would generate a visualization of you interacting with the boss, but in a capacity in which you are actually feeling the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
You are not merely visualizing. You are not merely thinking. You are allowing yourself to bodily, physically feel and experience the interaction. This can aid tremendously in that concept and that direction of expression of recognizing that whatever your intention is already manifest. It is merely a matter of inserting it into your reality.
Okay. We're getting close on time. One thing I wanted to touch upon was, again, I had asked you about this previously, but related to that noticing, I had an incident, this was a month ago, where it was more vibrant or more active than normal, where there was some staring, and I mentioned that I had, to the point where I was feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Why was that the case? Is that the case of just, you know, moving further down a continuum, or was it just like that was like more of a validation, or?
In which the other individual was staring?
Multiple individuals.
Was what you expressed in our previous conversation.
Right. How or why did that happen?
That is a validation. The reason you are uncomfortable is that it is unfamiliar.
Right.
And in that, suddenly you become self-conscious, in your terminology. And that feels uncomfortable. You're not accustomed to being noticed in that manner.
What was the difference that I've generated many, many encounters where I'll get lots of eye glances or noticings, as we call it. But why was it, like,
pronounced?
More pronounced.
Because you are more open. It is a validation of your movement. You have been very diligent in applying this information and experimenting with it and becoming more aware and expanding, and you are doing it. And this is evidence of that.
And so that's repeatable?
Oh, very much so, yes.
Because there's an attractive aspect to it.
Yes, there is. There definitely is, and is validating, it is empowering, and it is flattering.
And if I recall correctly, I was at the time, you've talked about flow and being open to the presentment of everything around you, and that
yes.
was what I was working with at the time.
Yes.
Interesting.
That makes you very attractive.
That is... Thank you, Elias.
You are very welcome, my friend. I would be very encouraging of you. And definitely acknowledging of all that you are accomplishing and all of your successes.
it's so much fun.
Tremendous encouragement in your maintaining of this direction. In wondrous lovingness to you, and in great continued encouragement.
Thank you, Elias. Goodbye.